Hey, and welcome to the Points to Paradise podcast, where we discuss all things travel-related, travel inspiration, and credit card points and miles. I'm your host, Megan Lanford, a stay-at-home mama, vacation lover, and small-town girl who learned how to travel for nearly free. Me and my family went from taking maybe one vacation a year to over 6 trips in a year. I want to show you exactly how to make you and your family's travel goals come true. I want to show you that traveling to dream destinations is possible without ever having to worry about how much money it'll cost you. So if you're ready to be inspired and start traveling with your family for nearly free, you've come to the right place. Hey friends, welcome back to the show. Today we are going in a little bit of a different direction. I know I talk a lot about the nitty-gritty of points and miles and the tips and tricks, but the whole point of it is to have more freedom in your life, freedom to travel and live your life on your own terms. And so that's kind of what we're talking about today. We have Dr. Megan Daly here, and she really emphasizes on designing freedom on your own terms and really living in alignment. And so we're going to kind of combine the worlds of travel and freedom and alignment and all those things and get into it today. So welcome to the show, Dr. Megan Daly.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me, Megan.
Yeah, no, it's great. I love the topic today. So let's see where this goes. So go ahead and just give my listeners a little bit of background on who you are and how you kind of got into this work.
Yeah. So the like long, very long story short is that my background is as a doctor of physical therapy. I was in that field for over a decade, and I don't even know. I think I lost track of how many times I hit burnout at about number 7. And that was 7 years in. So, and at that same time, we got news that my dad was terminally ill very suddenly, was given 3 to 6 months to live. So I was living across the country. So I went and I was his caregiver. And so I got a front row seat to watch someone hit the very end of their life and realize I didn't live my life for myself. I didn't find my version of freedom. I kept waiting for retirement, and now I don't get that. And so mix that with my own journey of like, why do I keep hitting burnout? And I was looking at my life and was like, oh, I followed all of the shoulds. I checked all the boxes. My life looks great on paper, but like, I don't feel that deep sense of fulfillment and freedom that I keep searching for, no matter how many certifications or accolades or achievements that I get. And so I had to do, it took quite a while for me to kind of figure out what that actually meant for me. And in the process, I did, one of the big catalysts for me was I actually got certified in oncology rehab. My dad died of cancer. And so I was like, all right, like this at least feels aligned. Let me just follow this nudge, even though this kind of goes against my like, don't just chase a certification thing at this point. So what that led me to doing is working with cancer patients who also had this giant like second chance at life, really, is as how a lot of survivors see it, and reevaluating and really realizing where your priorities were. So, and if anyone's been in physical therapy or is in that world at all, you know that we get treated like the other kind of therapist. So I ended up helping not only them get back physically, but just in talking with them, I started to realize that I had a skill set of helping people realize what their truth is and what their path is. And this was like a repeating theme that I saw with my patients. And yeah, so it just kind of bled into, after I went out in cash clinic, right? I followed, again, another should. We all fall back into the same patterns on repeat until we finally learn the lessons. So I did a cash clinic for a while and, again, started having patients say like, hey, I want to refer you to a friend. Yeah, sure, they have an injury that's I'm going to use to convince them to come in here, but I really want you to just talk with them. I think it'll help their emotional resiliency. I think it'll help them realize what they actually want to do and how to make things work based on where they are now. This is kind of jumping the gun, but I think it ties in so beautifully with travel and finding freedom, is switching every but to and. It's probably one of my biggest things is, and how often do you hear that, right? I want to travel, but I don't have the money.
Yeah.
Okay, well, how about we flip it to, I want to travel and I don't have the money. That little verbiage switch now opens up your mind to the possibility of like, okay, what would it look like to be able to travel with my current circumstances? Mm-hmm. How can I make this work? How can I find my freedom with the current circumstances and try, instead of trying to find some, I'll be happy when X kind of thing, right?
Yeah. Always and chasing.
I think we all too often get so caught up in that in life, whether it is the need to travel or even our career paths or like literally how we're living our life in every way, shape or form. Like it all bleeds together.
Yeah. Beautifully said. I love that. And that's kind of where I was going. Like I hear so many of like, but I don't have the money, or it's really overwhelming to get into travel points, or I have a bunch of points, but I'm like, I don't know how the perfect way to use them is. So I'm just going to keep hoarding them. And so I was going to ask you, like, for those types of people who are just too overwhelmed or stressed or want to find the perfect way, like, what would you recommend on just overcoming that? Where do you start?
Like there is no right. Like there isn't going to be the perfect time. Yeah. Like that's the harsh truth that I think a lot of us need to hear. I think one of the best things is following what's true for you right now, right? Like being very deeply honest with yourself about where your priorities are, mm-hmm. right? And if that is setting aside some money for travel, okay, cool. Own that. If it is setting aside and time, right? Like I'm saying money, but time is also the other thing that gets in people's way. Mm-hmm. If it is prioritizing family, if it's prioritizing eyelashes, like I don't care what it is, but like be honest about what it is right now. And allowing yourself to unapologetically stay true to you, because I think what we get far too caught up in, and I'm sure you've seen this a lot, and I definitely see this with my clients, is like, well, I want to follow this other thing, and often it's either a career pivot or a career shift, or I've worked with people through something as relatively seemingly simple as I want to pursue this new friendship, or I want to break up this friendship, like it's no longer serving me, or hey, I want to travel, but I feel like I'm going to get judged because of X, Y, and Z, or I want to start this new hobby. But there's a lot of shame and judgment, and that's, I really think that's underlying a lot of people's need to find that perfectionism. Mm-hmm. Like that perfect time. A lot of it is like, okay, when is a time where I'm going to feel like there isn't something else that I should be prioritizing, and or people are going to feel like I should X, Y, and Z. Like people have an opinion about it, or you have an opinion about what it makes, what it means about you that you are prioritizing that. And so this is a really long-winded way to get around to the fact that it really comes down to being very deeply honest with yourself about where you're at, what your priorities are, and what's true for you, which does mean you have to let go of these shoulds. You have to let go of the opinions and expectations of others and just live your truth. And the crazy thing is once you start doing that, even in relatively small, simple ways, you will realize that no one actually cares nearly as much as we think they do.
100%.
And if they do, like, that's on them. It's generally a projection. Like, anyone who has judgment or jealousy of you, and in fact, if you have judgment or jealousy towards anywhere else, like, that's a sign. It's an opportunity for you to be able to go deeper into what do I feel like I am lacking? Like, where is this coming from? Because it's going to be internal.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a great action step, just to sit down and really take some time to reflect on what is important to you and what your priorities are, and then figuring out a way, like you said, in your current situation to make those priorities happen instead of putting it off and like coming up with all the excuses. I like that.
Yeah, I think travel's a great example of that too. I remember, gosh, this kind of goes into like the jealousy and the judgment thing. So I'll give two examples. One with myself on recognizing, when was it? It was relatively recently. Like I had gone into this coaching path that I now do, but I had fallen back into the trap of go, 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 hustle, hustle, achieve, achieve, and was not allowing myself time to take away from work, to travel, to do the things like that. It's something that fills me up. It is a priority when I really sit in my truth. Mm-hmm. And I found myself, I was like scrolling on Instagram one day and I kept catching myself saying, Oh, I wish I could go travel right now. Oh, I wish I could go visit this place. I'm like, wait a minute. Like, I could figure out a way to make this happen. Like, where's this I wish coming from?
Yeah.
So I think that's one for you to reflect on for, like, anyone listening. If you've caught yourself recently saying, I wish, okay, cool. Like, that's where it's like, I wish I could do this, and how can I make this possible for me, right? Like, what's underneath that wish statement? Because you're not getting anywhere with a wish.
Yeah.
The other example that I have is remembering that Instagram and a lot of the things that we see are the highlight reel. Mm-hmm. So after my dad died, he had a Mercedes. My brother and I were like, we don't need this car and we definitely don't want the taxes that come with this car. But my cousin needed a car. He's in Texas. I was in South Carolina after being his caregiver and I needed to get back to Arizona. So I was like, okay, I will do a road trip. I will make a road trip out of this, drive the car to Texas and then fly out from there. The number of messages that I got during that, I took a week to do it, to kind of take some time for myself. Mm-hmm. And I got all these messages like, oh my gosh, I wish I could travel like that. Oh my gosh, I wish I could do what you're doing right now. And in the back of my mind, I'm like, I haven't been holding back on the fact that I just lost somebody and what I'm doing right now. So I recognize that people haven't seen this, but like, this is such a great example of seeing a pretty picture and judging mm-hmm. what's happening.
Yeah.
Versus taking time, that time, like rather than sending me a message, like take that time to be like, okay, cool. Like I'm recognizing that I really want to travel. How can I make that happen for me?
Yeah. Yeah. I hear that all the time. They're like, oh, I want to travel so much, but you know, I just don't have the money. Like I'll do it some other time. And just, you don't know if you have that time, honestly. So
yeah,
take it. So I know you talk a lot about nervous system regulation. Mm-hmm. And I know there's a lot of people listening here that love to travel, but they might have like flight anxiety or travel anxiety. Is there any way those two can correlate together to help someone overcome that?
Yes.
So I don't know much about system regulation, so I'm actually really curious on this question.
There's a lot. And some of this is going to be like, I'll give a couple of like my go-tos. But for the most part, it is kind of a trial and error of figuring out which ones are the heavy hitters for you as far as nervous system regulation tools that you can do, particularly in real time. If we think about, right, have you ever like walked into a room and immediately felt the energy of it, good or bad, right? Like when you are around even one person, much less groups of people like you are in an airport or in an airplane, that is a lot of energy. And it takes quite a while to really learn how to have what's known as energetic boundaries, where you don't take it on, especially if you're someone who identifies as an empath. Now, empath, like people get empath kind of misconstrued. They think that if you're empathetic, that means you are going to take on energy. No, it just means you're more susceptible to it. You don't actually have to take it on. Like energetic boundaries are just more important for you to have so that you can empathize, but not take on. Like there is a difference. And I am that person. Like I am very, very sensitive to energy. So when I go into an airport or really any kind of group of people, like I have grounding practices that I do before I leave whatever my safe space is. Like if anyone's seeing the video, like I live in a bus. So there's only so much space, but whatever your safe space is, take a moment to do some grounding practices there. Now, the more traditional ones that everyone knows about is like, go put your feet in the grass, stand outside, take deep breaths. Like, those are all great, right? So I just don't want to take too much time harping on those because I think a lot of people know them.
Yeah.
And so take whatever time you need. And it doesn't have to look the same for everyone, right? I think we have this idea that meditation or grounding has to be the stand in the grass. It could literally be put your favorite song on and shake your ass for 5 minutes before you leave the house. Like, something to move the energy through you and connect to your body. So there are body scans, dancing, singing is another great one. That's actually a way to kind of connect to yourself and activate your voice. It is a somatic is mind body. So if you ever hear someone talk about somatic practices, that's what that means. It's just a fancy way of saying mind body connection.
Okay.
Somatic body scan is another one, which we can dive into, but also everything that I'm saying, you can for the most part, Google and find videos on. And then standing in the grass, do something before you leave the house to really be centered in your body, especially if you are the person that is running around like a maniac before your flight. Whether that be packing last minute or just anxious about the flight, like when you catch yourself, take a second, close your eyes and take 3 deep breaths and just focus on where your breath is in your body, right? Try to make it belly breaths. If you realize that you're breathing from your chest, put a hand on your belly, try to breathe into that. I promise you, I know it feels nerve-wracking to take that 10 seconds when you're feeling like you're running out of time. and you will feel so much better for it.
Yeah.
The other thing is once you get to the airport, then you can do the same thing. Well, obviously you're not going to go stand in the grass, but you can sit. Like, no one's going to know that you're taking deep breaths and focusing on the breath. Like, no one's going to know that. The other one that I really like doing if I am really overwhelmed, and this can be in the airport or on the plane, like, go to the bathroom and use that time to do EFT tapping. It's basically a series of taps. Again, this is like really easy to Google, or I do have a nervous system regulation self-paced course that has an entire resources folder where I walk you through the body scan, EFT tapping, all these different things. But it's a series of tapping a couple different points. So like outside of your pinky, top of your head, it's easier to Google and like find a sheet that walks through the points rather than try to follow along with me saying it right now.
Does it matter where you tap?
It does. Okay. Yeah. So you do need to Google and find the points. Someone way back when figured out like it's basically points that help you tap into your body. When I say the first time that I tried this was before, like I would have considered this like woo-woo nonsense years ago.
Yeah.
And someone got me to try it. They were like, just humor me. Like, what's your anxiety on a scale of 1 to 10 right now? And I was like, okay, fine. It's a 7. There's a lot going on in my life. And they're like, okay, cool. They had me go through this tapping without even saying anything, just doing the tapping 3 times. They're like, okay, what's your anxiety at now? And I paused and I was like, how is it a 4? Like, EFT tapping does have a lot of science behind it. So if you're skeptical at all, just give it a shot. And it's been the biggest thing for my clients when they know they're going into a hard conversation, when they know they're going to have to make a phone call that they have some sort of assumption that's creating anxiety around it. When they are getting on a plane and they're nervous about flying, like, believe me, I walked someone through this. I've actually almost been in a plane crash and I knew a couple people on the plane. So I walked them through how to do EFT tapping immediately after. And then every single time before they board a plane again.
Oh, wow.
To help them get back on it. Yeah, that was not an experience I suggest for anybody.
Probably not. No. Well, that's really interesting. I've heard of tapping before, but I've just never really dived into it or anything. And I'm actually like fairly woo-woo. So I'm definitely going to have to try that.
Yeah, I love it. The last one I will say really quickly is the physiological side, because it's another one. If you forget this, just do the like deep breaths and focusing on where your breath goes. Like, that's easy enough. No one's really going to know you're doing it. The physiological side is a deep inhale through your nose, a quick inhale at the top, and then releasing all of the air out. There is really solid research to back multiple cycles of that being far better and more effective for your nervous system than just about anything else. Like, y'all that have been cold plunging for your nerve, this is better. This beats it, hands down.
Interesting. I haven't heard that one. So
yeah, thank you. And I like it because, like, I used to do it in between patients because no one can tell you're doing it.
Oh, there you go. And yeah, you don't want to be like on the plane, like taking all these deep breaths. People are like, what is she doing? So anything that
no one's going to notice, they're too busy watching their movie with their headphones in anyways. Like,
exactly. Yeah. So a lot of people are love to travel, but they hate the planning process. And so they like put it off till the last minute and they just feel that tension almost that we're talking about in the planning process. So what would you recommend for someone maybe in that stage that really wants to do it, but they just keep putting it off because they don't want to look up their flights and hotels?
Yeah. So my biggest thing whenever there's, so procrastination is going to be stress in disguise. Mm-hmm. And so it's just a matter of taking some time to figure out really what's underneath that. What are you avoiding? And because it's probably not actually going to be the scheduling or whatever it is. Like, it could be a multitude of things. It could maybe be that, like, okay, if I did have this planned ahead of time, then it means X, Y, and Z about me, right? And that's creating some stress. It could be some conversation that you're avoiding having with your sibling, and that's creating like the mental block that is now just presenting as this procrastination. The easiest way I have to kind of explain like how I have seen that occur, I'll use myself as an example. So I have severe ADHD, and I know nowadays that ADHD is getting a little bit more well-known. There's more diagnoses as like testing is getting better and it's again more known. Like, I had to fight for testing growing up because it wasn't as much of a thing. Mm-hmm. And, but I can say that things like procrastinating relatively simple tasks and getting stressed or anxious about scheduling things, like those are very typical of ADHD. And those got significantly better the more and more I worked on my nervous system regulation. So like the more and more you work on personal development and nervous system regulation, the less you will notice tendencies like procrastination or getting hung up on one little thing or making something mean way more than it is. Like all those little things will become less the more time that you put into personal development and nervous system regulation. And knowing that like you can't just flip the switch on that tomorrow.
That
takes a little bit of time. So I would just recommend sitting down and being like, what is true for me with this? Mm-hmm. Like what is, just keep getting really, really curious about why. In fact, there's an exercise where you just ask, keep asking yourself why. It will get frustrating. You will want to quit this exercise. So just a heads up. Every single time I do it, I generally end up crying about something. So just fair warning. But it's like, okay, why do I do this? Right. So then your next sentence is probably going to be whatever emotions are with it or whatever story you're telling yourself. And then why? Right. And you're going to keep asking that until you really, truly get to the root of what's going on. And that is what you have to work on.
Nice. That's really good. I feel like, too, like once you start working on all of these little things and get past that, you start finding more joy in just like 100%. The simple little things every day.
Yeah. And here's the other thing that I'll say with this, too, because sometimes we're too wrapped up in how we should be traveling. Mm-hmm. Again, should. Like, stop shoulding yourself. It's probably the biggest thing that I will say to clients on repeat and myself. Because if you feel like you should have everything planned, if you feel like what are you telling yourself about the planning process, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I used to feel like I had to have everything planned. I've been to, like, I think I'm at 21 countries. And I very much used to be the person that needed to have every moment planned. Well, you know what happened is I didn't enjoy any moment because I was too worried about getting to the next one.
Yeah.
Right? When I let go of that should, then I actually could start to prioritize, okay, what do I actually care about getting scheduled? And what can I just let go?
Yeah. Yeah, it makes the trip so much more fun when you're not, like, it following really an is. Itinerary.
Yeah.
So some fun questions. What has been your favorite place that you have visited?
Vietnam.
Okay, why?
There's a couple reasons. And I will say Cartagena is a close second.
Okay.
Vietnam, I think because it was probably one of the least touristy places that mm-hmm. I have gone, mixed with the fact that the people are so nice. There was a lot of outdoor activities. There was colorful stuff everywhere, especially like Hoi An, which is on the coast.
Okay.
It's on a river that goes into the ocean. So if you imagine like rice paddies with oxen in them and then these like beautiful Asian lanterns floating along a river and like gorgeous rows of houses and some of the best food I've ever eaten and everyone is nice and wants to chat with you. And then I can just go hiking and explore ancient temples. Like it was just, that's hands down my favorite one. I realized after you actually said the full sentence that the word was fun, which is why Cartagena comes really close there because that is just such a vibrant, vibrant city and a lot of dancing. Like, I think I had a random stranger grab me and just start dancing on the streets one day.
Oh,
like,
wow.
It's just such a cool vibe.
I like those answers.
Well, there that was like literally on the ocean. Like, I stayed in a hammock on the ocean.
Oh, wow.
For $7 a night. So tough to beat that.
Yeah, you can't get that here.
No.
Well, I like that because it's, I mean, not your typical vacation place that everybody names. And I'm the same way. Like, I do not want to be where there's large crowds of people. And I want to go see the places that you don't hear about and that a lot of people don't get to see. So that's amazing. Do you have any 2025 travel plans?
None set in stone yet. But I actually just was, I'm the person that is regularly just kind of perusing Google Flights on incognito mode to see what's there.
Yep. Me too.
And so I have a feeling that a solo trip to Mexico City is going to happen.
Nice.
For sure. And then beyond that, I do live in a bus, so I do plan on taking the bus around the states again. So like this summer I did Washington and then all the way back down. upcoming. I'm looking at trying to do maybe Montana, Wyoming. It's still very up in the air. Mm-hmm. It's kind of nice since it's a vehicle.
Like, yeah.
I can literally just move it wherever. But yeah, I would love to do Mexico City. And then I have friends that live in London that have been bugging me. Like, they both had kids in the last year. I'm going to try to get back there. That'll be a little different than my normal travel because it'll be purely to visit friends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
London has been popular. I've had like 3 clients in the last couple weeks that want to go to London.
Let's be real though. Once I land in London, like, I have no fear of hopping on a Ryanair flight and going wherever. Like,
yeah, I'll once you're over there, you might as well just go travel around.
Yeah.
Exactly. Well, thank you so much for being on the show today. Tell my listeners where they can go find you and follow you and just consume your content.
Yeah, so the easiest is Instagram. I am probably more active on there than I need to be. I definitely succumb to the Instagram rabbit hole on a time or two. So it's at Dr. Megan Daly. Daly is spelled D-A-L-E-Y. And yeah, super. All of my links are on there. I love chatting in the DMs. I love nerding out over, like, obviously my profile's not going to have a ton of travel stuff on there, but I love nerding out over travel and solo travel, as well as all of the nervous system regulation stuff. So would love to chat.
Awesome. And I will link her Instagram and all those in the show notes for you guys. So thank you so much for being on the show today. It was a great conversation, and I will catch you guys next week.